Hello, I'm Bonnie Rabakoff, and we are back in the kitchen at Graham and Dunn. Well, I should mention it is at 600 Ward Parkway on the Country Club Plaza. We are with their owner, Alan Galen, and his executive chef, Bradley Gilmore. Bradley, we have prepared this pork chop. We are getting ready to bread it. You told us what is in the breading. And what, just dip it in? What do we do?
Yeah, just a light dredge. You don't want to get it too heavy. It's just a light coating of the seasoned flour, as we call it, on the outside of the breaded pork chop. As you're doing that, you're going to want to heat up your cast iron skillet. We like to sear a lot of things in cast iron.
That was a serious cast iron skillet. And an old, but everyone says that it conducts heat and it maintains heat.
It's so much better.
Yeah. It's so much better. And it's easy. It's actually easy enough to clean because you just sort of wipe it out.
You wipe it out. And you want to get it seasoned and keep it wiped out and wash it every once in a while.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll do that. Now, I noticed that when you breaded the pork chop that you sort of shook it a little bit. You didn't let it get glumpier.
Yeah, anything. Nice light breading and shake a little bit of the excess off before you put it down in the hot oil.
And you said this earlier, but you did bread those.
I did bread the bones, yeah.
You breaded the bones. Okay. All right. So it's breaded. And what kind of oil are we going to put in the cast iron skillet?
We use peanut oil. It conducts at a higher heat. So in the cast iron, you can get a nice sear on the outside of it.
And it also doesn't have, you know, it doesn't impart flavor to it. So good thing. All right. So what temp? It was pretty high heat, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It was upwards to 500 degrees.
Okay. So at home, if we were doing this, we would turn it up to high.
Turn it up high heat.
Okay. And we'd be all right. So now how do we put this little guy in there?
Carefully. Sit it down in the grease. Let it fall away from you, not towards you.
All right.
It's the key important.
You know, that is such a good point. Something we need to remember. You put it in and then lay it down away from you.
I like to hold the bone and let it just fall away. That way if it splashes away from you.
Okay. All right. So how long are we going to let him brown?
It takes about 45 seconds to a minute on each side. You don't want to get it too dark because you're going to have to finish it in the oven.
Right.
So you want to bread, you want to sear it all the way around. Take the time to hit all the sides, all the edges of the pork chops, everything but the bone.
And I noticed that you did that you kind of put it up on its side a little bit because we're talking a double pork chop here, and the goal is to get all of it browned.
Correct. Use the edge of the pan if you have to is what we do is we set it on the side and let it rest on the edge of the pan as we're searing the sides that are hard to for the pork chop to lay on.
All right. Now, once the little guy is seared all over, then he goes into the oven?
He does. We use a 475-degree oven on a high convection fan.
All right. And let's talk about that, too. Some people have convection ovens at home, others not. So would you turn it up to even higher if you did?
You had
a conventional oven?
As high as you could go without going to broil. And then it's just going to take a couple extra minutes, 5 to 6 extra minutes.
Yeah. So how long is he going to stay in there at
10 to 12 minutes, yes.
If you were using a meat thermometer to test doneness, and I know you guys just sort of put your finger on it and you know how the meat bounces back as to whether it's done or not, but what temperature would we be going for?
We take him up to 140.
Okay, because he's still going to do some cooking when he gets out. All right. Correct. All right, so while he's cooking in the oven, we're then going to begin working on our Brussels sprouts. And you did something to the Brussels sprouts before we started cooking with them. Let's talk about what that was.
When you get the Brussels sprouts, you really want to cut the core out because it's a little tough and chewy. Split them in half and cut the core out and then blanch them. Boiling water with some salt. And you throw them in there for about 90 seconds to get the colorness to them and start the cooking process so that when you're cooking them, it doesn't take so long.
All right. Now, Bradley was totally serious when he said 90 seconds. And when they come out, they should be bright green and still have a little bit of
firmness to them.
And they can come back up to room temperature. You can do that earlier in the day.
Do it earlier and then put them in some ice water right away so it stops the cooking process.
Okay.
And then put them in your fridge and just wait till you're ready to cook dinner.
Okay, so this can be done
the day before.
But you know you're where you need to be when it gets that beautiful bright color. And for all the people who turn their nose up at Brussels sprouts, it's probably because they haven't been prepared properly.
You're absolutely
correct. They overcook them. They get smelly. They taste bitter. And
that is correct.
These were amazing. You know, we told our celebrity taster in the event that she had a problem with Brussels sprouts, which it so happened she didn't, that she would overcome that with this particular dish is heaven. Okay, so we got the Brussels sprouts ready. What else do we have before us for this dish?
We use a little house smoked bacon. We smoke all of our bacon in-house. And,
oh, that was wonderful. Mm-hmm.
We chop it up for this dish, and we start it in a hot skillet. We preheated it for a minute or two to where it
now,
gets a little warm.
We don't have the advantage of house smoked bacon at home. So if we're purchasing this in the store, we would want a little bit thicker.
You'd get
a thick cut
smoked bacon.
And we like the fact that you bake the bacon in the oven.
Correct.
So it's not splattering all over the place. And for whatever reason, I know there's some scientific reason, they don't curl up. I mean, they lay kind of flat when you bake them in the oven.
It's because the cooking process happens on both sides at the same time and all
there
around
you go.
It versus one side.
Yeah, there you go. I love bacon done that way. All right, so this was already smoked and then cooked off and, again, could be prepared in advance up to this point. What else do we have on our mise en place? I know we have real cream.
We do. We have heavy whipping cream.
Yes.
Romano pecorino cheese.
That you grated.
That we have grated.
Mm-hmm.
Salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of butter.
I know. It was just that teeny little bit. It's not that much, but whoa, what a difference it makes. All right. So we have a pan that you've already warmed up. And what do we put the bacon
in? We put the bacon in first because you want to get the flavors of the bacon to start leaching
mm-hmm.
out. Let some of those oils come out.
Mm-hmm.
And as that happens, you want to add the cream and start reducing the cream.
I have found that to be so flavorful that you think of reducing stock, but you don't always think of reducing cream. And what a wonderful sauce. I mean, it's like the perfect sauce.
It is. It gets thick and creamy, and then that way it can coat the Brussels sprouts and bacon and incorporate them all together instead of them sitting on their own.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're reducing the cream. What do we put in next?
Next, you put in the Brussels sprouts and let them simmer.
Mm-hmm.
As the cream starts to bubble and thicken, you're going to add the cheese, and then you're going to start tossing that all around. It's all going to start happening quickly now. If it starts happening too fast, you can turn the heat down on your skillet a little bit.
And another thing I see you and other chefs do is take the frying pan off the fire.
Yeah, just remove it. Just slide it to the left.
We forget to do that, you know, and especially if you're working with a electric cooktop, you know, the heat doesn't drop as rapidly.
Right.
But I've seen chefs, they don't even bother adjusting. They just pick the frying pan up. There you go. Okay. So we're watching this closely. This is the time when you don't walk away and do other things.
Right.
You're right there in front of this. Okay. So we've added the cheese. We've added the Brussels sprouts. At what point do you recommend that we add the butter?
Butter comes last. Once the cream and cheese have combined and it's gotten thick and coated the Brussels sprouts, you added the butter. Turn it off the heat is what we do and add the butter and then just let the butter kind of melt into that and stir it together as it happens.
It just gets so shiny, and you don't need that much butter, but,
tablespoon at the most.
Yep.
It doesn't take much.
Yep. And then I saw you do
salt and pepper. We keep it blended on the line. It makes for easier of a combination, but a little sea salt and fresh cracked pepper at the very end.
What ratio would you say was it, 2 to 1?
We use about 3 to 1.
3 to 1.
Pepper,
okay.
Yeah.
And it's kosher salt and fresh cracked pepper.
Yes, ma'am.
And because we don't do anything else other than that. And then you did something else. You had tasting spoons, and that is the sign of a really good kitchen. But at home, you need to do the same thing.
Taste it, make sure it's
ready.
Yeah, you want to taste it before you serve it to yourself or to your friends or your family.
Mm-hmm. All right, and so we did that, and it just so happens the seasonings were perfect. But we forget to taste, and we need to do that. And you know you're in a great kitchen when the chef has a bowl of spoons or he has spoons in his jacket pocket or whatever, and he's in there, he's tasting it. Because you don't want to serve anything that you wouldn't enjoy yourself. Okay, now, time for plating, because I always say this, but we do. We eat with our eyes first. How are we going to plate this?
What we do, we have we plate it in a bowl. You could use a plate or anything you like, but I like
this. It's almost like a pasta bowl.
It's like a pasta bowl.
It's beautiful.
I like to call it a flat bowl because the sides are rounded off and flat at the top. We put the Brussels sprouts on one edge to keep them separated a little bit because we're going to add a sauce to the dish. And then we angle the pork chop up to where the bones are sticking up because you said it, we eat with our eyes.
We do. We do that. Well, first we smell something that's wonderful and then we see it and then we eat it. All right. You put a little sauce on top of all of this and let's talk about what that was.
That's what we call a pork jus. We make it from split ham shanks we get locally here from Ozark, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
We reduce those with mirepoix, carrot, celery, onion for about 8 hours.
Is this like a stock?
It's like
a stock.
It's a ham shank stock.
Okay. And then you just let it
We let that simmer for about 8 hours and then we strain out all the proteins and the vegetables and reduce that liquid again. Then we fortify it with red wine, reduce red wine down and add the pork jus back to that. A little bit of garlic and fresh thyme.
Well, you know, thank you. It was just the little bit of sauce that finished the dish. And look at all the tremendous care that you all take to make every little piece and part of this dish absolutely fabulous. I know you could get some stocks off the shelf and doctor them up, but this was the real deal. Okay, now for the real deal, we needed to pair it, and we did go to your wine sommelier. Again, I mentioned earlier, I mean, he worked at the Four Seasons in New York, surrounded yourself with wonderful people, and let's talk about, he chose two wines, because we have the people who are devoted to white, and we have people that are devoted to red, and we have something for everyone, and what did we pick, guys?
We had the Vouvray Sec, which had a nice yellow apple for the white flavor. Dear. They cut through the fat of the pork really nice.
And it was a 2010, and again from France. And he did choose it because sometimes we put apple with pork. And
we do.
I think
we do in
was...
our pork jus that goes on to the sauce. We simmer apples in there.
Why that works so well. Okay, now let's talk about the red that he chose.
For a lighter red, he had a Pinot Noir from Oregon in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And it was light enough to where it really worked well with the pork.
And he said that Pinot Noir is very food friendly, and so it wasn't overwhelming, but it stood up to those Brussels sprouts and to the pork chop, and it was wonderful. And the person who tasted this is someone near and dear to many of us in Kansas City. Our celebrity taster was Anita Maltbia, and I should mention she is the director of the new Green Impact Zone in Kansas City. And this particular organization is working with something like 150 square blocks of depressed area in the city to not only improve it with a green approach. Gentlemen, thank you again for inviting me into your kitchen. It was delightful as always. And please check us out on the website at inthekitchenwithbonnie.com to see the show in high definition and download the recipes. You can also contact us on the Contact Us button and become a friend on Facebook. Stay tuned for In the Cellar Bar Marquee Selections. This week, we will explore how to pair their award-winning wines with some of our favorite comfort foods for winter. Please join us again in the kitchen. This week, we've been at Graham & Dunn at 600 Ward Parkway with Alan Galen and his executive chef, Bradley Gilmore. See you next week.